That's right. The wait is over. We are back. Ready or not, here we go. 124th installment of the Parish of the Patriots. Like I said, the wait is over. I know you all have been sitting here anxiously. Probably just can't even concentrate on anything in your life. Just wait. Just waiting. Waiting for Tuesday to come around so you can listen to this show so we can congregate at the Parish of the Patriots. If you're new around here, this is your first time to the congregation. You don't have to be shy. We don't care if you sit at the back. We don't care if you sit at the front. Just come on in. Have a seat. We will have a Christian-specific message later on in the show. I can promise you it's spicy. It will not be anything like what you're probably used to, so look forward to that. This is the show is supported by the voluntary tithes of the parishioners, and your support's very much appreciated. If you want to be a part of that, you can find that information at the bottom of the description page, which nobody probably reads anyway, so you can just skip to the bottom. We got snail mail, we got Bitcoin, we got Monero. If you have a weirdo cryptocurrency, drop me an email for that. I have the email address down there. I'll do my best to get you a address for your whatever coin that you have. And, you know, drop me a note. It's always good to hear from you. Which, speaking of which, we're not going to waste any time because, as always, we have a lot of ground, no doubt, to cover. I have no idea what's going to be on that ground because we fly this show by the seat of our pants. But nonetheless, let's jump into the listener supporter mailbag, one of my personal favorite parts of the show, Mr. T. GPD, dough for the show. Very much appreciated, and hope things are going for well for you, Mr. T. And, you know, hope things can get back to some sort of normal for you. Grandpa Dan, hope this finds you well. Love the shows. Keep up the truth telling. My prayers are with you, Debbie, and it is very much appreciated because some days they're easier than others. Some days I'm like all the rest of you. Look around at the insanity. This ever-increasingly wicked world. We're living in societal collapse. It's just, gets to say, we all need all the prayers we can get. And, yeah, back to you. We just got to keep it together, folks. We just got to survive this crazy ride because it's getting crazier and crazier. Hey there, Grandpa. A little dough for the show. Gas tank or whatever. All the best from Jackie. And once again, yeah, I need all the help I can. Need all the help I can get. I can tell you, it's y'all, the listener supporters are the elite. They're like, y'all, the elite supporters of the show. And finally, GPD, I finally got around to putting more coins in the plate. Loving the show still. Looking forward every week to getting your perspective on events and comparing it to my own. My buddy mentioned today that it is the Chi-Coms. Oh, yes, Dim Evil Jinx. It's the Chi-Coms. They're using social media to whip the blacks up into a frenzy. I couldn't believe they would actually think that they have that kind of control over our population. It's amazing how misinformed the American population is kept. Oh, well, I've tried in the past to share bits with folks, I know, but it almost seems impossible to reach 99% of the population. Keep up the great work. You always do. You're the man. I'll try to be more regular with my support. And I've been so busy with life, not to mention I could be more organized. Talk soon, Kurt. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. It's something when you run into those people in real life, because so often, you know, it's most of the time the people that come up this line are, well, I like to think well-meaning conservatives, because conservatives is a broad term. And because anybody who's not part of the pro-global homo agenda, they would, you know, that are normie people, they would say, I'm a conservative. Now, I wouldn't. I don't tell people I'm a conservative. That's a disgusting term to me because I know what it means. I know what it stands for here in clown world. But you will have these normie cons, and they're the ones who'll sit there. On the one hand, talk about they don't trust the lying because Trump told them, you know, fake news, lying media, don't believe anything the media says. But then as soon as the media says Dim Evil Chinks are the ones that are whipping the blacks up into a frenzy, they believe it. People will sit here and say, I don't believe anything the lying media says. But then when the lying media tells them that the Chinese are... I mentioned briefly, I believe it was on last Friday's show with Sir Longshanks, and I made this point, I believe, that, you know, none of this would be possible without the promotion, without the existence of mass media. And it's amazing how people in years past were correct. Because I we're launching from here, so I'll just say thank you again, all of you all financially supporting the show. But when TV became widely available and people all started getting TVs in their homes, and there were people that said, this is just inviting the devil into your home. And everybody made fun of those people and said, you're backward, you're just superstitious, you don't understand this progress. But they were right. If we didn't have mass media, if mass media did not exist, then it would not be possible to do this to people, this huge social experiment, this social conditioning, this brainwashing wouldn't be possible. They were right. You were inviting the devil into your house. Got a 58-inch devil hanging up on the wall or over here on the TV stand. You better be careful what that devil's telling you. Better be sure it's just showing subtitled Japanese anime or Korean dramas. Otherwise, you're getting the devil's man. Otherwise, you're getting the devil's message. But no, this wouldn't be possible without the existence of mass media. It's amazing because you run into these normicons, and it's like they will sit here and say a lot of the things that the nationalists will say of every stripe. You know, it's like they take that, but then they shoehorn this odd term in. You know, it's. There's this disconnect. I mean, you have every politician, whether it's Team D or Team R, and every one of them goes to the AIPAC convention and bows before them and promises that even if the U.S. is falling completely apart and completely broke, don't worry, we pledge our allegiance to more money for Israel. I mean, it's not, they don't hide this stuff. It's there. They do this publicly. It's a public thing. Everybody has to go to the wall. You know, anybody that runs for president has to at some point make the obligatory trip to Israel so they can go wear the ugly little, you know, the little hat and kiss the wall and stand there and put their hands on the wall. It's like a bowing down and swearing allegiance sort of thing. It's right there in everybody's face. But it's the Chi-Coms. It's the evil chinks that are the ones. The Chi-Pac, yes, they're all doing that for the Chinese Political Action Committee. No, they're not. It's like they will take this whole narrative. If you had this whole line, like two or three lines of truth, and then they take one word, Jews, and take that out, and they put Chinese in there, or Chi-Coms, because that sounds uglier. Chi-Coms, the Chi-Coms. Everybody with slanty eyes, it's a Chi-Com. What does that even mean? Chi-Coms. It's the Chi-Coms. Oh, it's hard. And when you meet people like this in real life, that's what takes you back. Because when you see them on the internet, when you see them shitting all over the comments section somewhere on the internet, you at least take a little comfort in the back of your mind and say, maybe it's a shill. You know, maybe this is some asshole, you know, sitting in Jerusalem or in Washington, D.C. or wherever the hell, drawing a paycheck to shill like this. It's just some guy doing his job as a shill. But see, when you read somebody, you know somebody personally, you run into them and they spout this shit. You can't say, oh, well, maybe he's getting paid. No, because you know this person. They're just that freaking stupid. Very discouraging. What the hell do you do with people like that?
I don't believe anything the media. They stole the Trump. Yeah, Trump. They stole the election. I don't believe anything the media says.
Media. There's a deadly virus and the evil Chi-Coms.
Well, I'll tell you this virus. Them chinks, man. Them chinks. That's why we call him China Joe. Because he's owned by the Chinese.
That's one of the dumbest lines. He's owned by the Chinese. The same people who sat there and saw the foolishness and the lie when they were running around claiming that Trump was Putin's puppet, even though Trump was constantly, you know, whipping up more sanctions against Russia. The people that were able to recognize that was complete idiocy now are flipping it around and saying that Biden is controlled by the Chi-Coms. The Chinese own Biden. Where did they get this idea? No, they're all owned by the same people. If you want to call it the same nation, it ain't China. It ain't the Chinese Political Action Committee. Figure it out. It's just breathtaking. The same people that could understand that the whole narrative that Trump was Putin's puppet was ridiculous now sit there and just do the opposite. And equally ridiculous that Joe Biden is owned by the Chinese. Oh, and just so happens that both countries, for years now, they've been agitating for war against both these countries. It just works out that way by pure coincidence. It's frustrating. Frustrating to deal with these people. It really and truly is, you know, because they get the screen of truth. And I'll tell you something else that'll blow you up. And you talk to people, and like, they really seem to get it, you know? They really seem to understand, wow, yeah, okay, I get that. Yeah, you know, you can see the light going on. And you're like, hey, good, this guy gets it now. He gets it. And then you run into this person, say, a month or two later, and they're spouting the Chi-Com thing or whatever ridiculous narrative from the media at you. Like, they don't even remember what you talked about a short time before. Where the hell did it go? It's like their brain has a trap door and boom, it's gone. It's gone. Close trap door up, suck in some more garbage from the media. It's these same people. I don't know. They'll sit here and mock political correctness. They will. They'll sit here and say, oh, yeah, it's stupid. This is politically correct. So I am all about the truth. But they're not. As soon as they're really going to run afoul of political correctness, they pull the reins in really, really quick, don't they? Even in personal conversation, because, you know, people say things, you know, in personal conversation, they maybe wouldn't go proclaim to the world. And I guess that's fine, because at least they do understand the truth. But even in personal conversation, it's like they rein themselves in. It's like they're conditioned. Then conservative media is more toxic in a lot of ways than the regular mainstream media. These people who will sit here, because they're the ones that make sure. I think that's their chief primary job of conservative media. See, when people start really catching on to stuff, you make sure, oh, you can let them go ahead and have that narrative. You just pull this word out and insert this word for it, and they'll accept it because you sound like you have authority. After all, if you didn't know what you're talking about, you wouldn't have a nationally syndicated radio show, right? So that's their job. Their job is to make sure that they just stay off track just enough. I was thinking about when you talk about disaster, I was thinking about Hurricane Katrina the other day. I don't know why, just random. Actually, I do. There's an old country song called, I think it's called Hurricane, you know, and it's talking about it took a lot of water to wash away New Orleans. You could look it up. Anyway, that song was way before Hurricane Katrina. I always think of that, and I think Hurricane Katrina lulls, you know. But when you had Hurricane Katrina and New Orleans was a complete freaking disaster, or you look at Detroit or one of these other cities and it's a complete disaster, crime rampant, murder rate through the roof, and these people will boldly proclaim to you that they know the common denominator. These are all Democrat cities. These cities are predominantly, you know, you see the common, this, you try to hint around, you'll be like, well, you know, yeah, those cities are shithole, all right, non-functioning, basically. There's a common denominator, you know what it is, right? Yeah, I know what it is. They're all Democrats. that's why Somalia is a failed state, because it's populated by Democrats. Who knew? They just can't do it. But see, they just regurgitate what they hear on conservative talk radio. And the conservative talk radio say, oh, these cities are a complete mess. They're murder rate. People are killing each other left and right. Because they're run by Democrats. No, because they're populated by blacks. Oh, no, you can't say that. The more blacks you have in a city, the more it looks like Africa. This makes common sense because it's truth. You look at Africa, it's generally could be a pretty violent place, pretty poorly ordered, barely functioning systems if they function at all. And then you come over here to the magic dirt land and you take a once functioning city, but you change the population out. And it looks more like Africa. But you're not supposed to notice that because that's racism, it's hatred. But it's truth. It's not racism. It's not hatred. It's truth. If you do this, if you populate this area with these people, this is the result you get. This is actual real science, by the way, because you could consider it an experiment. If you did a scientific experiment, and one of the things I'd like to stress here on the show is the difference between actual science, which is where you can verify, and anybody, once you set up the steps of the experiment, it doesn't matter who does it, because you do those steps and you get the same result. That's how you know it's real. That's how you know it's truthful. That's how it's real science. You could do that experience. You could take whatever area and populate it with the same people. And if you put the same people in there and it always gets better and you wind up with this high level of civilization, no matter where you put them geographically, then you can say, well, those people are capable of a high level of civilization. And the flip side of that, if you took this group of people and no matter where you put them, even if you inserted them into an already functioning high level society, all they got to do is maintain what they got, but they can't do that. It winds up looking like the shithole they originally came from. Then your scientific experiment would tell you these people are capable of this level of civilization. This level. This is it. It's all they can do. That's science. I thought y'all freaking loved science. Not so much. Not so much when it uncovers uncomfortable truths. But it's because these cities are run by Democrats. It's the Democrats. They're all Democrat cities. That's why they're a disaster. Speaking of disasters, we're continuing to watch this whole vaccine thing. I'm sorry, you were probably thinking we were going to get through the show without talking about this stupid doom virus thing, but it's not gonna happen. The vaccine disaster continues to roll out. And if you look and poke around, people are dying from this thing. I was thinking about this, and we talked a lot at the time, ancient history, last year, about every year is year zero, because what was going around last year is ancient history. And I remember in ancient history last year, we did a lot of time on this show talking about the mask thing. The masks, where you should wear the masks or not. And it's not that big a deal. And why do you make it a big deal? And I made it a big deal. I refused to wear the mask all along because my gut instincts told me it was wrong. I don't know. I can't explain it. People would say, well, what's the difference? You just got to wear the mask and just wear the stupid mask. And it's just like, I don't know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking maybe I'm just being contrary. I just don't like being told what to do. And I think it's stupid. They already admitted just a month or two before, which is, I guess, recent history at the time. They had already admitted that they don't really work. Then when they said, oh, no, you do need to wear the mask, they all said you have to wear the N95 mask, the only one that works. But then they realized there weren't enough of them. So then they said, well, you can wrap an old T-shirt around your head. It's better than nothing. Then they went two or three masks. Then it's gone all over the place. It was observably stupid. But maybe I was just being contrary. No masks. But now, looking back with the benefit of hindsight, I think the masks only served the simple purpose of conditioning people for the vaccine. I think the vaccine, they were already planning. The vaccine was the end goal here. You see, the masks were the conditioning. If you refuse to wear the masks all along, it's going to be easier to just continue to refuse the vaccine. You already refused this. But if you went along with the masks and you're one of these people that walks around with the mask all the time and you wearing the mask, now they say you got to do the vaccine. Now it's the next step. And see, it's only a little step. You're back here like me and you never wore the mask. They're asking you to take a huge leap to take the vaccine, which ain't going to happen. You say, if you wear the mask, it's only a short step. Well, you did this. It's not that big a deal to go ahead and take the next step. Just go ahead and do the vaccine. But say, when you hadn't even wore the damn mask, it's a problem. The vaccine is the end goal. And I'm always honest. I have no idea what it's actually going to do. I know it's already killing people. I mean, that's fact. It's not fake. It's a fact. There's arguments over the numbers, but you cannot argue that it hasn't already killed people. This is also predictable. Flu season is over and they're talking about, well, the number of cases has dropped. It's because of our highly successful vaccination campaign. No, it's because flu season's over. It's the summertime. Nobody gets the flu in the summer. And we already know that when fall and winter get here, it's going to go back up. And they're already lining up. They're already lining up the narrative that when it comes back, of course, now we have the dangerous Delta variant. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. They run these terms through focus groups. They're obviously coming up with where did they come up with the term Delta variant? Well, because the Indian variant is racist. Well, you know, the Normicon. See, they won't call it the India version because that's racist. Stupid. Stupid. No, no, because they're running this through focus groups. They've got a marketing firm. They got marketing firms working on this. And the marketing firms came up and said the Delta variant sounds the most sinister. It registers the best with the focus groups and our computer models. The Delta variant sounds scary. That's the one you're going to be able to market. And so that's what they're going to market. And they're already lining up the narrative that when the Delta variant starts wiping out people by the tens of thousands, it's going to be the fault of those who have refused to be vaccinated. Those who've refused to be vaccinated, they're the ones. They're lining it. They're already saying it. Well, it could happen that those who refuse to get vaccinated are going to be the reason there's a new insurgence of the deadly virus. But the vaccine works. How come? Why would you have to worry about that? If the vaccine works, you know, if you had the polio vaccine, you wouldn't worry about walking around, a bunch of people with polio. You're not going to get it. If you have a vaccine against some disease, traditionally, that means that you're safe. You could be a doctor and go treat them people because you don't have to worry about catching. You have immunity. You got the vaccine. But they're saying that you're going to get the deadly virus anyway, even though you got vaccinated. It's obviously a lie because of all the contradictions that keep popping up over and over again. Of course, when you point this out, they say you're promoting false information that's going to cost people's lives. The more hysterical they react, the more you know you're closer to the truth. They're going to blame the next flu season on everybody that's refused to get vaccinated. But I was sitting here thinking this morning before doing the show, I was thinking about this and I'm thinking, well, where are they going with it? I mean, nobody can say with authority, well, this is what the vaccine's going to ultimately do, because we simply don't know. Hell, I don't even know if they know for sure. I think this is in large part, a huge experiment on massive number of people. So I always say people try the long-term studies. This is the long-term study. You are the test subject. At least, like, if you volunteer for a medical study, they pay you, you know? You see those ads like, hey, if you suffer from type 2 diabetes and you want to be part of an experiment for a new drug and be compensated, and you're like, man, I could use some money, and maybe this drug will work. Of course, maybe it'll cause my fingers to fall off, too, but never mind that. I'll take the $200 and take your drug. Used to get paid. Now they're doing this experiment on everybody. Ain't nobody even getting paid. You are the long-term experiment. But I was thinking about how this fits in with all of this Great Reset thing. Maybe this plays a role, probably plays a role in the Great Reset. I'm thinking, well, what role could it play? And this is just pure, I'm saying for this, just pure me thinking this out. We're thinking this out together to say, this is what it is. I know the truth of the matter. Because we don't have enough facts. To know the truth, man. We're having to guess. We're having to come up with hypotheses and then wait to see if they come true. But I was thinking, if the vaccine turned out, let's say, just hypothetically speaking, the vaccine turned out to be deadly. I mean, once they've given everybody the shot, it doesn't matter how upset you are about it because, well, whoops, you know, or maybe they'll just say, well, it's only deadly because there's a new variant around, you see, and that's why you have to have a booster shot. You had to have a booster shot because there's a new variant, the Zulu variant. That'd be a badass name, the Zulu, because I always think of that old movie, Zulu, 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 Zulu. Because I tell you, for Africans, man, the Zulus are based. You got to give credit where due. The Zulus are based. The Zulu variant. I'm totally down with the Zulu variant. But what if perhaps these different variants they're going to invent, they're going to have to claim you have to have a booster shot. But what if the booster shot is actually just to kind of keep you alive? You know, what a coercive method that could become. Because you think about the Great Reset thing. And at some point in time, because the idea is that you're going to own nothing. You're all going to be renters. They're going to forgive your debts. And forgive your debts. But you won't own anything. You see, they get all the assets, which was always the end goal from the beginning. It was always the end goal from the beginning. I've said that for years. People didn't want to listen. But there's some people that get to like that. Some people could be not want to go along with that, but just imagine if you've taken the vaccine and you have to have the booster every, say, 6 months to keep you alive. Otherwise, it kicks in. And all you got to do, think about it. If the masses of people, if you had 95% of the population vaccinated, if you had everybody vaccinated, And they're all pissed off, and they got nothing to lose except that if the government doesn't give them their quote-unquote booster shot, they're all going to start kicking over. What a way to keep the population under control, isn't it? If they have to have a booster shot to stay alive, they aren't going to get too sassy because you control the booster shots. There's a scary dystopian thought. And it sounds out there. It sounds way the far the hell out there to say that. But let's be honest. Look around at Clown World. Just a few years ago, we'd say, if you told people in a couple of years this is what's going on, people would say, that's a little too far out there. They're not going to do that. So I don't know. Is it too far out there? Is there anything that's actually too far out there? Talking about the Great Reset, I was thinking about this notion that, you know, they're going to get all the assets. And in one of the questions, you talk about this with people, IRL, for instance. And one of the questions that comes up is, yes, but, and it's a legit question. Yes, but what about the people that already own something? Let's say you already own your house. Well, they roll out their Great Reset and they say, well, we're going to forgive, write off everybody's debts, but you don't own anything. We get all the assets. And you're like, bullshit. I own this house. I bought this house. I paid for this house. How are they going to handle that? They're going to kick you out of your house. Or you're just going to say, no, we own it now. I was thinking, how would they roll this out? And I think the answer to that is simply they would say, oh, no. You own your house. It's yours. But you can't leave it to your children. Because you see, that would be inherited wealth, which leads to income inequality. This relies on people being so stupid that they don't notice that there's more income inequality than ever now because the masses of people are all poor and there's this very tiny, super rich elite oligarchy at the very, very top that owns everything, literally owns everything. So essentially, when you die, yes, you could keep your house, but when you die, your house now is inherited by the oligarchy and they can't pick up the scraps. Because let's be honest. Here in America, most people don't own shit. You drive around these big, fancy, gated communities, you look at all these nice houses, and you're like, man, all these people got more money than me. Where do they get the money? They all own these big houses, but they don't own shit. They all owe on those houses. They're making payments on those houses. Those would all belong to the oligarchy. Oh, no, you can keep your house, but when you die, we're getting it. You can't sell your house because that's not allowed because people aren't allowed to own anything. You can't sell your house to anybody because they're not allowed to own anything. The oligarchy owns everything. They're talking about this openly. This isn't crackpot conspiracy. This is what they're saying they want to do. People said, oh, that'd never be. Why? Why wouldn't they be able to do that? They've convinced apparently the majority of the population, if their numbers are to be believed, they've convinced the majority of the population to be a science experiment to take a shot. They know nothing about. They were just told by the media that it's safe. Why wouldn't people be convinced to go along with this? Your house will be inherited by the oligarchy. We're not going to kick you out. It's yours. But once you die, it will be inherited by the oligarchy. Because otherwise, income inequality. See, look over there. Your neighbor is as broke as you are now. See, everybody's equal. Yeah, but how come all of y'all at the very, very top are multi-quadrillionaires? Don't notice that. You can't notice that. If you get too sassy about it, you won't get your booster shot. And if you don't get your booster shot, well, you just might not have to worry about it any longer. Very scary. Very scary stuff. It's a ridiculous plan. I still... I mean, yes, people are stupid and will go along with just about anything, it would appear. But at the same time, this plan of theirs is so far out there and ridiculous that I have a hard time believing it's going to be successful. I mean, don't get me wrong. We have to take it seriously. They're very serious about implementing it. They're taking all of the steps to actually implement this plan. I mean, Western Europe's going to go along with whatever the hell. I mean, Japan is a subjugated country. They're an occupied country, been since the end of World War II. So at the end of the day, they're pretty much going to be forced to go along with whatever. Who are the nations that are standing in the way? Primarily Russia and China. It comes back to this. As you know, the conservatives, it's the Chi-Coms. the so-called quote-unquote liberals. It's the Russians. But it's both those countries that just so happen to be big stumbling block to implementing this great plan, because this great plan requires, really pretty much requires, a worldwide implementation. It's not going to be possible to implement it in a single country. If you tried to implement the Great Reset, say, just in the United States, well, people who didn't like it would get the hell out of here. Well, of course, then again, if they did, they might not get their booster shot. It really requires a worldwide implementation. If people that didn't get the booster shot start falling down dead left and right everywhere in the West, but everyone in China and Russia are doing just fine, what does that entail? What is going to be the consequence of that? I really believe that the whole plan hinges on this global implementation. That's why Russia and China are such a problem. They got to have a color revolution. They got to have a regime change. They need more of the democracy and our values. They need the Great Reset. Russia and China are the big stumbling blocks to this agenda. And you'll get these retards that will sit there, you know, oh yeah, well look, Russia ain't all that. They've got their problems. Yeah, no shit. But there doesn't change the fact that they're a stumbling block to this global plan. They got oligarchy in Russia too. Well, you're going to have a rich elite class in any country in the world. That's just kind of the way it works. But, I mean, you can't compare it to the oligarchy that's running the West. I mean, come on, let's be real now.
Oh, well, look at all these problems China has. They've got these other problems. Well, yeah, there's no country in the world that isn't perfect.
I hate this absolutist mentality. It's got to be perfect or it's just not worth a shit. Well, you're going to live your life pretty miserable if you require things to be perfect. You can't be happy married because you got to have the perfect wife. There is no such thing. That bitch is going to drive you crazy at some point in time or another. You're going to be happy with your kids unless you have the perfect children. They're not going to be perfect because they're human beings. You can't be a part of an organization because it's not perfect. Can't support an idea of a government because it wouldn't be perfect. Then you can't support anything because there's nothing perfect. There's nothing incorruptible in this world. I don't think Russia's a utopia. I don't think China's a utopia. But I do know that those, for a fact, that those two nations are the stumbling block to the Great Reset, because it's got to be globally implemented. They can't do it patchwork. It's got to be implemented worldwide. They want to rule the world. They want to rule the world. They want global implemented. They want to dominate the entire planet. It's part of this weird thing they have going on in their heads. They think that's what they're supposed to be doing. That's their calling in life. They're such superior beings to the rest of us. They live on a higher plane. It's their calling. If they can't dominate the whole world, it would drive them crazy. They've got to. So those two countries are a stumbling block for all of whatever problems they may have. I'm sure they do, though it remains they're a stumbling block. And if you don't support the Great Reset agenda, then those countries are not your enemy, because they're a stumbling block to this agenda that you don't want to see implemented here. You see, if that prevents them from implementing it here, that's a good thing. Those countries are doing a good thing, just serving that role. But again, I mean, don't get too twisted up about this, because if you think about all the things that have to fall in place for this ridiculous plan of theirs to actually unfold. I mean, we talk about, you know, you look around at society and it's like, you know, people in general are getting dumber. I'm convinced of it. People are getting stupider. But if you look at the oligarchy, if you look at the ruling elite, they're getting dumber too. I mean, I think the ruling elite that were manipulating things behind the scenes, say, 50 years ago, were a whole lot smarter than the ones that are doing it now. They're kind of just way the hell out there now. This plan, this sinister plan, requires a whole lot of things to fall into place. First off, it's going to require everybody getting this vaccine. If what, you know, what we've talked about here today is true. And again, this is largely a hypothesis of the role that that would play. But it requires everybody getting the vaccine. And not everybody's going to get it. They just got to get that number down to a manageable level that'll fit in camps. For the, of course, the safety, public health safety and whatever. Of course, most will wind up taking it. When the coercion gets hard enough, when they literally say you can't hold a job without a vaccine, most people, at some point when it gets difficult enough, most people will fold. I think about Jesus, and no, I'm not launching into the Christian-specific segment quite yet, but this is why the Christian faith sometimes just so much goes hand in hand with what you see. I think of Jesus, you know, prior to the crucifixion, and how even his hardcore boys, his circle, his tight inner circle, were like, we ain't abandoning you. He's like, man, y'all are all going to bail on me. And this gets hard. When this really goes down, y'all are all going to bail on me. I'm just telling you up front, because I'm not going to hold it against you, but you're going to bail on me. And you got the disciples like, no, we ain't. We'll carry this. I'll be executed with you if it comes to that. I'm not folding. And they got the best of intentions. But sure as anything, when it got tough enough, they all bailed. They all fled. You got people that sit there and say, I'm not taking the vaccine no matter what. I'm not going to go along with it no matter what. But you know, the sad reality is human nature, and they know that once it gets hard enough, once they make it inconvenient, right now they're just making it inconvenient, you can still work around it, but once they make it difficult enough, once they make it absolutely difficult enough, once they become coercive enough, that most people go along. And you saw that. You saw people, we've already seen it already. You had people that were like, I'm not getting the vaccine no matter what. And then they were like, well, you know, you can get a fast pass through the airport. If you've had the vaccine, you can fly on the airliner. Okay, I'll get it. Well, you can go to the rock concert and you don't have to wear the mask if you get the vaccine. Well, I wasn't going to take it, but hey, I can go to a rock concert and not wear the mask. Sign me up for my shot. And it'll get more and more coercive when it gets to the point that, well, you can't work at all anywhere unless you've had the vaccine. You can't go into the grocery store unless you've got the vaccine. And once they make it hard enough and difficult enough, most people are going to fold. Most people are going to fold. They're going to go for it. They just said, well, hell with it. I mean, I got to live. Got to work. What else am I supposed to do? And people are no doubt going to ask me, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't have the answer for that. I don't have a simple answer for that. Things are going to get hard. Things are going to get shitty. You may have to actually hope they're stupid enough to go ahead and try to solve the Russia-China problem with the military and lose badly. That may be our only hope for deliverance from this. I hate to say that. I don't hope for such an occurrence, but it may wind up at the end of the day. I don't know. Again, it takes a lot of things falling in place for this complicated, weird, dreamed up plan of theirs to come to fruition. So fret not. I mean, like I said, it's a complicated plan. The odds are in our favor that it's not going to work out. It's going to blow up in their faces. So don't get all like discouraged, because you see, the political narrative in this country is always that they get what they want. You notice that? Because the Republicans are nothing more but fake opposition. And you get this, people get this mindset that Global Homo always gets what they want, because they'll jump up and say, we want this. And the fake opposition says, no, we're not going to give you that. But at the end of the day, they always give them that and they move forward. And then the fake opposition will come up and say, well, we're going to be for going the opposite direction. And people go, yay, somebody says Team R is going to go in the opposite direction. They vote for Team R, and Team R turns around and goes in the same direction. It's Team D, is Global Homo, because they're all on Global Homo team. So they're all on Team Anal. So you get this mindset, and that serves a purpose too, because it gives you this mindset of defeatism. They're always going to win. Look, just look around. When was the last time they didn't get their way? I mean, sometimes they get stalled for a year or two, but at the end of the day, they always get their way. They always get what they want. Everything always moves in their direction. That gives you this defeatist mindset. It's part of the narrative where you just, everything is futile. They're always going to win. They're always going to get, it's inevitable, because it's always been inevitable in the past. Well, it's been inevitable in the past because there's been no real opposition. And as more people realize that the system is fake, the entire democracy system is a fake sham. It's just oligarchy. You don't have a say. Your votes don't count. They don't care about what you want. All you have to do is look around, and when people vote anywhere in the world for something that goes against what they want, then it gets overturned. They get a color revolution. They get all kinds of problems. They get sanctions thrown on them. They're told that election doesn't count. You're not allowed to do that. When more people realize that this whole thing is a sham, it's all built on the house of sand. Don't get overly discouraged. We talk about these things. We discuss these things. We want to understand what's going on around us. But don't get discouraged. Don't think, well, it's just inevitable they're going to win. No, it's not. Their plan is stupid. And it's really, really complicated. And it requires a lot of things falling into place. Some things have fallen into place for them. I say they're touting all of this vaccine. Now, 70% of the population has been vaccinated. But do we really know that? I mean, maybe they have, but we don't know that. They're just telling us they have. I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. You can't take it at face value. You can't take anything these people say at face value because everything they say is a lie. It requires a whole lot of things falling into place. We do want to understand what's going on around us, but their plans succeeding are far from inevitable. We've got to wrap up on that note, get into the Christian-specific segment this week. That's right, the sermon this week at the Patriots. That's probably why the most of y'all are even tuned in. So you know what to do. Let's get in there, fill those pews. It's time for this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as we get settled in this week, let's go ahead and jump right in. We're going to read from our Bibles this week. And I'm going to read a little more this week than we usually do because I got to provide a little bit of context for what I want to talk about today. We're going to do Matthew 25. We're going to start at verse 32 and go ahead and run all the way to the end of the chapter at verse 46. This is Jesus speaking as part of a monologue, a pretty lengthy monologue he's doing. So, as I said, we'll pick up at verse 32. And there before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not for one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, there's a few things here I think it's important to take away. For first off, is once again, we see highlighted here the necessity for action. One of the things I harp on a lot is that there's nothing in here that's ever about empty emotionalism or feels. It's always about taking action. What are you doing? And you see this highlighted here. What have you done? Not what have you said? What great words? What promises? What did you say you were going to do? Or what heartfelt sentiments did you have? It's all about actions. What did you do and what did you not do? The other is, once again, this highlights that, you know, love everybody hippie Jesus that the MCC has invented over the years does not exist. Jesus is making the king in this illustration. Jesus is making the determination of who is going into hell, who's being cast into eternal fire, into eternal punishment, into damnation, and who is going to get life eternal. This is a final judgment. this isn't the, these are the things that make the MCC very uncomfortable. And what the reason I wanted to, the reason we picked, I picked this particular verse is I saw a commercial on TV. Maybe you've seen it. It's, I've been triggered because see, one of the things we get constantly tasked with here in the Christian specific, in the sermons that we do here at the Parish of the Patriots, one of the things is one of our regular tasks is to counter the toxic altruism, the lies, the heresy, and just the all-around crap that's promoted by the MCC. And once again, that task falls to us this week. In this commercial, it's for an organization called Samaritan's Purse, and they read, of course, just a partial snippet of this verse, of this line from the Bible. And, you know, and they, needless to say, they're not talking any of the parts about people being cast into hell. And it focuses on the lines about that which you did for the least of me. And as this commercial rolls, they're showing all of this footage of various African children and poor brown children from, I'm assuming, the poorest countries in Central America. And as they show these pictures of these African children in the bush, walking around looking poor and pathetic, they're reading this, that which you did for the least of me. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. That which you did for me. Of course, they're shilling for shekels here, needless to say. They're shilling for people's money. And the insinuation here is that if you send your money to this organization, they're going to pass a certain portion of it on to poor African children. And you're doing it for Jesus. And you're kind of going to get yourself, you know, the golden ticket to the kingdom of God. So I wanted to read. That's why I said it was important to get some context this week and read the entirety of that to give you a bigger picture. Now, if we go back to, let's say, verse 40, I mean, it's one of those things. I don't even know why I have to explain it because it's so cut and dry. I mean, this is, it's not like, oh, we have to decipher. This is all coded messaging and we have to decipher it and figure it out. It's very plainly spelled out here. Even when people cherry pick these verses to attempt to frame up this false narrative, I mean, all somebody has to do is go and check the source material. And who doesn't have the source material? It used to be, I don't know if it's still the same way, but it used to be, you know, the Gideons, I think it is, put, you know, Bibles. Their mission, they went around and put Bibles in every motel room, every hotel room. You could open that drawer, there wouldn't be nothing in that damn drawer, but there'd be a Bible in there. It's not like Bibles are hard to find. All you got to do is go to the source material and check for yourself. Of course, most people don't. They're lazy. They're going to sit there and watch TV and see pictures of poor African children and go, wow, I want to help Jesus. I better go help this African child on the other side of the planet. But all we have to do is to look at the source material. We go back to verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Is that simple? There it is. My brethren, those who are of him, the children of God, those who are God's people, that's what you've done, that which you do for the least of these that are doing my work, the least of these that are my people, the least of these that are my children, you do it unto me. Not some godless African on the other side of the planet. What the hell is that? I mean, don't get me wrong. If you want to take your own money, If they want to have an Africa organization, they want, you know, you, hey, we're going to go feed, serving. You remember like Fat Sally Struthers used to do back in the day? If you're old like me, you know, you're for 5 cents a day, you can feed a starving African child. And that has, of course, been totally disastrous, not just for the entire world, but especially for Africa itself. They've already gone way beyond the amount of population they can support. And now things have just gotten worse because they didn't let nature take its place because we're way smarter than that. Now, if they want to do that, at least they're being upfront about it, you know, what they're doing. But when an organization goes and twists the scripture to this meaning, to this false teaching that Jesus was saying that you should go to the other side of the planet, it drives me crazy. What? There's not any poor people. If they, I mean, it, just the idea of, well, it's your mission to go around and help poor people. You know, if that's what you believe, are there no poor people in America? I mean, I guess this is marketed for people that live a very, shall we say, I don't know, comfortable, isolated life. you know, a very small world they live in, this little community where everybody's rich. I don't know. Because I can tell you right now, there are plenty of poor people in America. But no, you have to go to Africa because there's something virtuous about that. Oh, and you can get virtue signaling points. I'm going to go on and on, tie this into other things Jesus warned about, proclaiming your righteousness from the street corners. But if they wanted to do that and just say, oh, well, we want you, we're going to help overpopulate Africa even more. So go ahead and send us some money so we can work to overpopulate Africa more. It'll make their lives worse and everybody else's lives worse, but you'll feel real good about it. Maybe you can get some likes on Facebook. But they're using this piece of Bible verse. They're using the words of Jesus in a false context. Jesus is very plain when he gives this illustration of the righteous asking, when did we ever see you in this condition, God? When did we ever see you in this condition, Lord Jesus, O King, and do these things for you? We don't remember that. That which you did for the least of these, my brethren. That which you did for the least of these, the children of God. See, he's not telling you to be foolish, not telling you to be stupid. Run around and give your money to the godless. This is how they're reading this. Go around and give your money to godless people you know nothing about. That's just foolishness. There's nowhere in your Bible where God instructs you to be a fool. Fools are mocked in the Bible. Nowhere is he instructing you to run around and be an idiot. How does this make any sense to anybody on a fundamental level? We're talking about this, and this is one of the things we're tasked with here is combating crap like this when I find it. Combating false teachings like this, twisting and distorting of the words of God for some stupid agenda, some heresy. It's one of the things we're tasked with. But this one's so obvious. And yet, obviously, these people are making a bunch of money, so I'm assuming they can afford advertisements on TV. I assume they're doing pretty well. So we combat them. We point out, and we come against this. We counter this with the most powerful weapon we have, the sword of truth. And we're going to wield the sword of truth. Jesus spells it out clearly. He doesn't say, that which you did for the least of these that you know nothing about them on the other side of the planet, a foreign people that you know nothing about, that which you do for the least of these, you're doing for me. That's foolish. They would have laughed at him. But Jesus wouldn't say something like that. That's not what he said. My brethren, he spelled it out very clearly. My brethren, that which you do for the least of my people, you do for me. I'm not saying that this organization may not do good things in other instances. I'm not like overall blanket condemning this organization. But this is a heresy that they're promoting. They're shilling for money and they're twisting the words of God to do so. And I will call that out. We're going to, because this is the kind of crap we run into as Christian believers when people say, oh yeah, well, looky here. There's your Christianity for you. Send more money to Africa. That's right. Don't help any of your own people. Don't help any of the people of God. Don't worry about where your brethren are suffering. And is this wicked, godless thing? And then there's another thing. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, we got to help these people because they're on this side of the planet. But well, we live in an ever increasing oppressive, godless society. Day in and day out now. But you ain't got to travel to the other side of the planet. You ain't got to go look very far. Go find some truth tellers because they're doing the work of Jesus. Jesus said, you know, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by what they do. And what did Jesus do? Cause trouble all the time because he was going around telling the truth. And the truth wasn't popular, especially to those in power. Go find those people. They're doing the things of Jesus. Go find those people. No. Go send your money to this organization so they can take a cut off the top, of course. And they'll distribute a certain portion of that to some random people on the other side of the planet that you know nothing about. It's utter foolishness. And it's a heresy because they're twisting the words of God to accomplish it. Like I said, if they just wanted to say, hey, like the old Sally Struthers thing from back in the day, you know, send money to Africa, you're going to feed starving African children. And people just do that. I think that's a foolish decision. It doesn't understand how nature keeps in balance. It's not like, oh, I want to see Africa. You just want your hatred. You just want to see poor black people in Africa suffer. No, that's not it. I just understand how nature works.
Yes, but what if that was you? Well, it would suck. Yeah, it would suck for me, but it wouldn't change the fact that that's how nature works. You know, it's how people always try to counter these facts, you know, the truth with by making it personal for you. Oh, yeah? Well, what if it was for you personally? What if that was you? What if you were a poor, starving person in Africa? You'd appreciate that bowl of rice, wouldn't you? Well, yeah, I probably would. But it doesn't change how nature works. It doesn't change how the system that God put in place to keep the earth, to keep the world in balance, works. Whether I was on the shitty receiving end of it or whether I'm not on the shitty end receiving end of it, doesn't change the way it works. It's a very emotional appeal, a very feminine appeal. And I'm not trying to diss women, but it is. It's a very feminine appeal. Oh, yeah, well, what if it was affecting you personally? How would you feel? Well, I probably wouldn't like it, but it doesn't change the reality of what God has established. We live in an ever increasingly, every time I think this society, this world we live in, this the West, every time I think this country cannot get more godless and more wicked, surprise, they can. I keep thinking, yeah, well, maybe we're going to hit the end here pretty soon. Maybe the clown car is finally fixing to crash to the bottom. Maybe they're not going to get that much more, but wrong, wrong. There is another tier of wickedness. I'm being disingenuous a little bit with that. I have to reel that back in because I actually do expect them to get worse day by day. We just look at the trajectory we're on. But I keep thinking, how much worse can it get? But they keep striving. You got to give them that. But yet, these people are promoting the idea that you have to travel around the other side of the planet to find somebody to help. There's nobody they can help here. There's no neighbor they have that could really use a helping hand. If they just want to help random people, I mean, drive through your community. Of course, you don't get virtue signaling points if you happen to help white people, so they can't do that. You know, and if they drive to the black neighborhood and help random black people, they might get shot, so they're not going to do that. So they just simply sit at home and use their credit card or mail a check, if they're old school, to this organization. And maybe they'll even send them a picture of some random African child and tell them, hey, look, you helped Wapumba here in the bush jungle. He got a bowl of rice because you're $250 you sent. And they can post that up on social media and say, look what a good person I am. I helped a random black person. Sickening. It promotes the worst. It really does. It promotes the worst. It's all for selfish gain. It's all for virtue signaling. It's nothing to do with what Jesus spelled out. Of course, these people always cherry pick the Bible verses, you know. I mean, they cherry pick these things. And now this, like, oh, well, you know, like, oh, we're not going to read this certain part of it. I mean, like, just the verses on each side of it. I want you to go check the whole thing. Read the bigger context. Read the bigger context, because what's the bigger context here? What is happening in what Jesus is illustrating here? Well, he's illustrating what it will be like when it's time for him to sit here and start casting people into hell. That's the whole point of the story. Oh, well, some of these people are going to hell. They're going to eternal damnation where there's no hope. No, they don't. They don't want to give that context. Because that runs in that runs counter to the hippie Jesus that loves everybody. And, you know, really, you know, that hell stuff is outdated. Why would he do a thing like that? Because he's love. Love doesn't cast people into hell. But the whole illustration is highlighting how Jesus is going to be casting some people into hell. Other thing interesting here, if you look at this illustration, he's talking about separating the sheep from the goats. Now, let me ask you something. You know, because we talk about here, there are people. This runs into another one of the false things they teach. We're all children of God. Everybody is a child of God. Every person on the face of the earth, they're still a child of God. And that's a lie from hell. Jesus is saying in this illustration, he is separating the sheep from the goats. Sheep go on the right hand. Goat. Let me tell you something. A goat cannot help but be a goat. A goat can't help it. They're a goat. He's sifting. Separate sheep, goat. Not that the Lord has anything against goats. Obviously, this is illustration. He says, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. But the point is here, a goat is a goat is a goat. A goat doesn't magically become sheep. A sheep cannot convert a goat into becoming a sheep. There are people that are children of the devil in this world, and they're going to hell no matter what. You're not going to save them. You can preach at them all day long. You can tell them about Jesus all day long. They're never going to really accept it. They might tell you they do. They're never going to really accept the gift of God, the salvation of Christ, because they're a freaking goat. They're going to hell. They are of their father, the devil. Can you help who you're the child of? You might not have anything to do with your parent, but you're genetically of your father, of your parents. A goat is a goat. It's not ever going to be a sheep. A sheep's not going to convince a goat to become a sheep. He's illustrating and showing here that there are those who are children of the devil. Now, you got sheep that are running around with the goats. They think they're goats. And that's your job. That's the people you're evangelizing to. Those are the people that we wait and try to get to come into the fold so they can get in their proper place as sheep. Because right now, they don't get it yet. They don't understand. They think they're goats. They're running around here doing goat shit. Deep down, the goats know they ain't a goat, but they're letting them go along with it because, heck, they can go along for the ride to hell. The people you're reaching aren't the goats. You're trying to reach the people that are sheep, but they think they're goats. They haven't figured it out yet because they're stupid and they're misled. And they're having false teachings like this thrown at them. You're trying to convince the sheep that we're waiting for the sheep to come into the fold. Not goats. Goats going to hell. Again, nothing against literal goats. Let us not forget, there's nothing wrong with a goat. I think they're kind of cool with their horns, you know, a goat and a big beard, you know. But the point here is, they're not going to change that. Now, you have these sheep that think they're goats. We're trying to get them back over here into the sheep pen so that they understand that your sheep is supposed to be running around doing goat stuff. But you're not changing the goats. But yet, that's what they say. When they falsely claim that we're all children of God, everybody on the face of the earth is a child of God, and God loves everybody. That's a lie from hell. I say it again, it's a lie from hell. There's a whole lot of people that are not children of God. They're children of the devil. That's why they're going to hell. Not going to hell because nobody told them to say the magic words about accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. No, they're going to hell because they were never of God in the first place. Jesus spells it out time and time again. Oh, wow. How come we have all these weeds have come up among our wheat, Master? Well, because did you use bad seed? No, an enemy did this. They came in and sowed their own seed amongst mine that I put in the field. What do? Do we pull them out now? No, because you're going to tear up the wheat. You're going to get the wheat. You're going to get some of the sheep that still think they're goats. They haven't figured it out yet, so we got to wait. Let it all come up, and at the time of the harvest, then we'll sift them all out. We'll sift the sheep from the goats. We'll sift the wheat from the weeds. It's not that hard. He spells it out. How ignorant do you have to be to not understand these things? And yet, this is what's promoted Christianity today. This is what we deal with. This is the kind of crap that you'll have atheist spurgs come and throw up in your face. Oh, yeah, look at this. Look at this. This is what you Christians are all about. And this is why we have to sit here and counter it with the truth. And it's not hard. It's not hard. It's right there. Jesus spelled it out. My brethren, he says, my brethren, that's what you do for the least of these. My brethren, those who are of me, those who are sheep. That what you do for the least of mine, the sheep, my children, spells it out. This isn't ambiguous. He spells it out. Go throw your money to the wicked. Go throw your money to the godless. Go throw your money to complete strangers on the other side of the planet that you don't know anything about, never will know anything about. That's not what he says. That what you do for the least of these, my brethren. Pretty plain and simple. But anyway, yes, I've been seeing this advertisement airing. Needless to say, I've been sitting there grinding my teeth, triggering me. So needless to say, that made it into our sermon this week. And hopefully, once again, you write this episode down in case somebody says, oh yeah, what about that? Here, Here, just go listen. You can start tuning in about halfway through the show, and this will all be explained, how this is stupid, has nothing to do with Christianity. It's false teaching. It's a twisting of what Jesus said. And that's what we do. And that's what all of us as children of God, that's part of what we're tasked with, is to do the things of Christ. And that is to counter this twisting of his words, this selective verse reading, and putting up these pictures to give you this false impression that Jesus was saying something that absolutely wasn't. When they do that ad, they say, that which you do for the least of these, you do unto me. They cut out the part where he says, my brethren. How disingenuous is that? Because that's actually saying, when they do that, when they do something like that, they're actually saying that, well, Jesus didn't get it quite right. This is a blaspheme. They're claiming, oh, well, they know better than Christ. See, he's according to this, he says, my brethren, but we know better than that. We're going to have to edit the Lord. We got to edit the Lord here because he wasn't being politically correct and he wasn't promoting our agenda or whatever the hell. If we put my brethren, people are going to sit there. If we read the scripture actually as it's written, then people are going to sit here and say, well, my brethren, what the hell does that have to do with random Africans? And they won't send us money. Edit the Lord, the arrogance of it. It's very sickening. But anyway, yes, this is one of the things we're tasked with. This is one of the whole points of why do we do this particular portion of the show. And because it's everywhere. We have to counter these false doctrines when we find them, when we see them. I mean, I saying this, I knew immediately we'd have to go ahead and blow that shit up on this week's show. So anyway, there you go. So if you see that ad, you don't have to be triggered because we've already blown it up here at the Parish of the Patriots. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and back on out of here. I do appreciate you joining us this week. Once again, thank you for those of you who aren't shy, pay your tithes. I do appreciate the financial support, and I do appreciate all of you stopping by and listening. Hopefully, you get something out of the show. It's always the intention that at least somebody walks away with something that makes it all worthwhile. So we are going to get on out of here. And yeah, we'll be back right here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.